We continue our learning of the Mishmas Tavim Ben Menachem Mishem Hab Yaakov and Pidichos Aliyo. We're in Kedushin Perek Dal and Mishnah Yud Gimel. Lo Yilmad Adam Ravak Sofrim. Mishnah says that a bachelor should not be a teacher of young children, because the mothers are bringing their young children to school all the time, and he, as a bachelor, were afraid that as he's going to be drawn to these particular women. Velo Silmad Isha Sofrim. And a woman should not be teaching children, because she may become secluded with the fathers who bring them. And some say that this would apply only to a woman who's not married. And others say, no, it applies to even to a married woman, unless her husband is going to be in the same city. We have to take these halakhas into account. Even though we spoke about the halachos of yichud, we may need to be strict in these circumstances. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afmi She'ein Lo Isha Lo Yilmad Sofrim. Rabbi Eliezer says even a person whose wife is not living with him, literally means he has no wife, but it means his wife is not living with him, should not become a teacher. Which means someone's married is also not permitted to teach children according to Rabbi Eliezer if his wife is not living with him, presently living with him, right. Now, halacha follows the opinion of the Tanakhama that this issur applies only to a bachelor or someone who's never been married. Perek Yud, last Mishnah in the Masechta, Perek Tal Mishnah Yud Dalet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yireh Ravak Behema. So he says that a ravak, a bachelor, should not be a shepherd. Why not? It may lead to bestiality. Not only that, we shouldn't have two bachelors who sleep with the same blanket. It may lead to mishkav zachar. Or vachachamim matirin. Chachamim say no. Jewish people were not afraid about mishkav zachar. We're not afraid about mishkav behema, and we follow the opinion of the chachamim. Kol sheisko im hanashim lo yisyached im hanashim, says the Mishnah. Anyone whose business is with women should not have yichud. Now we know we spoke about yichud already. That's us usher to everybody. But that's where we said where if I have one man and two women, but once it's more, it should be it's acceptable. Ah, but someone whose trade is where he's, let's say, providing for women, selling things to women, so then he cannot even have yichud with more than two women, because he's so friendly with them, we're afraid of a problem of yichud even when it's one man and three women. And some say, no, that actually would be true. There's going to be an isser of all men are prohibited to have even yichud even with more than two women. Go back to the previous Mishnah. It could be that no one would allow. No, we don't necessarily allow one man with three women, and maybe ishto imo is the heter that we allow. So depending on how we learn that previous Mishnah about yichud. To Mishnah Yud Beis. And therefore, how would you understand the Mishnah here? So if one man can't even be with three women, what's the Mishnah teaching us when it says, Kol she'isko imanash, a man whose business is with women, should not have yichud with women? It means that this would be usher even ishto imo. That if a man's business is with women, even if his wife is with him, there's going to be a problem. So you would need other men to be there as well. And others say that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even a person whose livelihood depends on women may not be alone with them, which means that a person, let's say, we would say that a person's mind would be occupied with the business itself. Maybe we would say so, there's less of an issue, you're so focused on the business. The answer is no. It's still going to be prohibited, even though his mind is concentrating on the business. And others say the idea is not so much about that he's concentrating on the business, but the idea is that the chiddush of the Mishnah is, you would say, maybe we should find a heter for yichud when someone needs to earn a livelihood, and we should have a relax the prohibition. Nonetheless, we don't allow that. Let him bring his wife along with him, or find some other trade that doesn't involve being with women. Then the Mishnah says, "Velo yilamid adam es beno umenos bein hanashim." The man should not teach his son a trade which involves being amongst women, because this is also a concern. He'll become very friendly with the women, be drawn to them as well. Others say that he shouldn't, that the chiddush of the Mishnah is, what does it mean, person should not teach his son an umnas bein an Hashem? He shouldn't be teaching a trade where we have boys and girls, men and women together, because they'll become, they'll be interacting one with the other. Rabbi Meir Omer, lo'olam yilamed adam b'esbeno umnas nikiyo v'kala. Person should always try to find a trade, teach his son a trade that is nikiya, that is literally clean, pure, vikala, and light. So what does that mean? So one explanation means it's not degrading. Doesn't require heavy labor. Let's say sewing or weaving. Some say that no, sewing and weaving, that's what often mostly women are involved in those. So therefore, we shouldn't say, Rabbi Meir is not coming to tell us, a person should teach his son on umnas nikiya vikala, weaving and sewing, which is what women normally do. But rather, Rabbi Remi is coming to tell us that I disagree with the Tanakhama. And the idea here is that we should find a light and clean trade, umnas nikiya vikala, even if it will involve being amongst women, which means according to the Tanakhama, you shouldn't be involved with women at all. According to Rabbi Meir, is coming to tell you, no, an umnas nikiya vikala is allowed even if it does involve women, because there are potential other problems with having an umnas that's not nikiya vikala. What another explanation, what does it mean, an umnas nikiya vikala? It should be clean, it means pure from stealing. Person should not be dishonest. What is light? Light means kala. It means that it doesn't involve the person taking a risk on investing a lot of money. And others claim that a person should teach his son a trade. What does it mean? Light? That it doesn't takes too much time, because then he won't be able to study Torah. A person, when it comes to a trade, he should always, of course, daven to Hashem. To be successful is only be due to Hashem, and don't assume that's the chiddush of nikiya v'kala, which means a person may as well, says Rabbi Meir, teach his son an umnas nikiya v'kala, even though you'll say, oh, but now we may not make a lot of money, because v'yispale l'misha osha and chasim shalom, daven to the one who is the sorcerer of all wealth and all possessions. Every umnas, every trade has some people who are poor, some people who are wealthy, some people are successful, some people are not successful. And therefore, when it comes to a person, therefore should daven, and a person should also recognize that they can invest a lot of time studying Torah as well and still be successful. Because poverty is not from trade and wealth is not from the trade, a person's financial status is not based on his trade, ala kolofi zuchus, so it all depends on his zuchus. Now, what does that mean to his zuchus? So one is that his merit based on davening to Hashem and through tefillah. Now, we use zuchus sounds like it's almost like mazel. It's not going to matter anyway. Whatever is the Hashem is destined for him, that's what's going to be. That's not necessarily what zuchus means. Zuchus may mean not merit, not mazel, but maybe it means that which I'm zoche in, that which I've acquired. So the Mishnah is telling me that a person's lot is not so much about his mazel based on zuchuso. It all depends on literally what he zuchus. The zuchus he's made could mean that which he's acquired. Which means everything a person, all the possessions a person has, everything is zechuso. What does it mean? Not necessarily merit, but it means that whatever his zechus is, whatever Hashem has given him, so that depends on tefillah. That's what it means. Yispalel lefisha oshav anachasim shalom. You know why? Because all zechus, all possessions you have, is based on what Hashem wants you to have. Some say that the Mishnah means that a person should recognize, even if he puts a lot of work in, and a lot of davening, in the end of the day, he realized that Hashem is in charge, and he shouldn't lose faith in Hashem. And Hashem could always change that which he has. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ra'isam Yamecha Chaya Va'of Sheyesh La Umnus. You ever see a wild animal or a bird that has an umnus? Vein Mispanim Shelo B'Tzar. So domesticated animals maybe we feed, but the wild animals and the birds, so they are able to make make a living without difficulty at all. V'halolul nivru l'elav shamsheni. They're not. They're only here to serve me. They're here to serve man. So if that's true, v'ani nivresi l'shamesh koni, and I, man, I've been created to serve Hashem. So eino din is the nadakav v'chomer she'es parnei shelo b'tzar. If the birds and the wild animals who are there to serve me as a human being, they're lower than I. They are able to find parnas without tsar. So why should it be that I have to have tsar? Eino din is not a kavachomish es parnas shelo b'tzar. Ela must be shariosi maasai v'kipachti es parnas asi. I'll tell you why. It must be that shariosi maasai, I've corrupted my deeds, v'kipachti es parnas asi, and it's my fault that I've caused myself that I'm not able to make a living. This goes back, really, according to some, referring to Adam Arishon, and he now with quotes v'dardar tatzmiach loch v'chaltos esav asodeh. Now he has to put an effort in order to make a living. This is all based on sin. And this is true throughout, not only Adam, but based on sin in general. A person may as well involve himself when it comes to involve himself in Torah, because otherwise this panos is not going to come just based on his effort alone. Abu Gurion ish tzadion omer mishum Abu Gurion lo yilamed Adam es bino chamar gamal sapan. A person should not teach his son to be a donkey driver, a camel driver, a sapan, a sailor. So let's go through those first. What's the issue here? So Bar Tanura says, "Kolelu unus listus." It's thievery. Because when they sleep over, these are people traveling constantly. So when they sleep over, they often take on the road. They'll take fruit or wood from other people's vineyards, other people's fields. And he has on. They're hired by other people, and they often violate the conditions of that deal. So here also, people can't oversee them because they're traveling long distances, so they may take advantage and not do what they're supposed to do. So those are trades you should not teach one son. Not a donkey driver, chamol, gamol, camel driver, sapan, a sailor, roeh. Also, don't teach him to be a shepherd, because they often allow the sheep to graze in other people's fields, the goats, v'chenvani. Not to be a storekeeper, because people, what's the issue with that? A storekeeper, so Bar Tanur says, melumad be'ona. Very often he overcharges. It's fraud. Lahatil mayim b'yayin. Let's say to dilute the wine with soros bechitin, put some pebbles into the, you know, or not remove them from the wheat. Because you have to teach him an umnas kniyo, that which is clean, that which is pure, that which is honest. Listim, says the Mishnah, because these are trade is a trade of robbers, they lead to dishonesty. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Abu Guria, Hachamorin Ruban Rishoyim, most of the donkey drivers are Rishoyim. Why? Say the same thing. They leads to dishonesty, as we said before. Vagabolin Ruben Ksherim, but he says the camel drivers, most of them are kosher. Why is that? Because they travel through the desert and it's very dangerous. So they're afraid. They become humble in front of Hashem and they begin to daven. Hasapanim Ruban Chasidim, and the sailors, according to him, are pious people, because it's even more dangerous when they're traveling over on the sea. Tov shebarof from the Gehinom. Even the best of the doctors will go to Gehenim. Why? Maybe they're not. They don't fear getting sick because they feel they can heal themselves. Maybe they cause people to die because of not being careful with their practice. Maybe people who are poor, they can't pay and they refuse to heal them. And so that's why Tov Sheberofim Vegenim. We also say maybe it's the best of the doctors, because they're the ones, they rely on their own medical practice and judgment and don't ask other people. And that's also, that arrogance is also, will lead them to Gehenim, and of course could lead to tragedy and loss of life. Then the Mishnah says, "V'hakosher shabbat tabachim shutovo shel amalek." The righteous of the tabachim of the butchers are actually partners with Amalek. Why is that? Because a person who's shechting animals, he has a lot of kashrus questions and often takes advantage for financial purposes, and therefore is compared to the shutof of Amalek, according to some, referring to Eliphaz, who was the father of Amalek. Remember, we were according to the Medrash, he took away all of Yaakov's money, so it's based on financial concerns. Maybe that's why it's called the shutof of Amalek. Others say, no, it's like Amalek. The Amalek came to attack the Jewish people, which means that he's going to be a cruel person as a butcher. So therefore also that type of practice, just because he's a butcher, that will he will become a cruel person. Rabbi Naharai Omer, Maniach Ani Es Kol Umanu Shebaolam Me'ini Melamed Es Bnei Ela Torah. I'm leaving aside all trades. I'm only going to teach my son Torah. One important point is that this cannot be that Rabbi Naharai disagrees with Rabbi Meir, who said you're supposed to teach your son an Umnus Kalo Nakia, for a simple reason that according to one opinion, Rabbi Naharai and Rabbi Meir are the same name. Rabbi Meir is the Hebrew version of Naharai means light, means to illuminate. So they're the same person. But it must mean that a person has the choice, says Rabbi Naharai, and that's what he's saying, that I've chosen to teach my son. I see that he's very promising. Therefore, I'm going to teach my son only Torah. Does it not necessarily to exclude the possibility of teaching someone, of a father teaching his son, Umnam Nus Kalav Nakia. So why, though, does he choose to teach his son Torah? Sha'adam Ochel Mischara Bolam Azeh, because a person in the end, this is the trade I want him to have, because he can eat from the schar, not only in this world, but the principle remains the reward for the next world. When it comes to other trades, you don't have the same level of schar. Their reward is only going to be temporary. The benefit is only for the here and now. He continues, person gets sick, or old, or suffering, he can't work, so he's going to die. He has no energy to work. He's sick. Avala Torah ain't okay. Torah's not like that. Ela mishamar to mikolra. He protects him from all bad, but not Russo when he's younger. And he gives him, there's an end. He has some benefit in the future and hope and when he gets older. But not Russo, my woman, what does this say when it comes to regarding Torah? When he's younger, those who hope for Hashem, who are learning Torah, involved in Avodas Hashem, so they will have a renewal of their strength. When they're older, they'll still be fruitful in their old age. Avram was elderly, yet he was blessed with everything. Then the Mishnah concludes with the following statement, that Avram Avinu did the entire Torah before it was given. Why do I need this statement? To tell me that a person shouldn't think that Avram's reward, there's no way he could have been fulfilled because, we learned Torah, like Rabbi Naharai saying, and that's why he was paid back. That's why Hashem rewarded him. What do you mean? There was no Torah. The answer is no, he kept the Torah. Shenemar, Ekev Asher Shamava Mikoli, Vaishmor Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Visorosai, Slikala Masechas Kidushin, Hajon Allah, Seder Noshin.